ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Bhagavad Gita as it is, translation and commentary by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, chapter 18, text 14. Adhishtanam tata karta karanam cha pridhak vidham. Karanam is a different word to karanam. Karanam cha pridhak vidham. Vividhascha prithak cheshta daivam chaivatra panchamam adhishtanam tata karta karanam cha prithak vidham vividhascha prithak cheshta Daivam chaivatra panchamam adhishtanam place tata also karta worker karanam cha and instruments prithak vidham different kinds vividhaha Cha, varieties, prithak, separately, cheshtaha, endeavor, daivam, the supreme, cha, also, eva, certainly, atra, here, that's H-E-R-E, here, or you can see it there, yeah. Maybe you know that word. You know that word? Sanskrit word? Comes up often. Comes three times in the second verse of the Srimad Bhagavatam. But when you say it in English, you can't be sure, because it could also be the spelling H-E-A-R. It's also pronounced the same. That's what I said, to differentiate it. Here, Atra. Panchamam, five. Okay, I'll chant the verse before that because they are translated together. Panchaitani mahabaho karanani nibodhame sankhe kritante proktani siddhaye sarva karmanam. O mighty Amdarjuna. Learn from me of the five factors which bring about the accomplishment of all action. These are declared in Sankhya philosophy to be the place of action, the performer, the senses, the endeavor, and ultimately the supersoul. Purport, a question may be raised that since any activity performed must have some reaction, how is it that the person in Krishna consciousness does not suffer or enjoy the reactions of work? The Lord is citing Vedanta philosophy to show how this is possible. He says that there are five causes for all activities and for success in all activity, and one should know these five causes. Sankhya means the stalk of knowledge, and Vedanta is the final stalk of knowledge accepted by all leading acharyas. Even Shankara accepts Vedanta Sutra as such. Therefore, such authority should be consulted. The ultimate will is invested in the supersoul, as it is stated in the Gita, Savasya Chahang Hridi. He is engaging everyone in certain activities. Acts done under his direction from within yield no reaction either in this life or in the life after death. The instruments of action are the senses, and by senses the soul acts in various ways, and for each and every action there is a different endeavor. But all one's activities depend on the will of the Supersoul, who is situated within the heart as a friend. The Supreme Lord is the super cause. Under these circumstances, he who is acting in Krishna consciousness under the direction of the Supersoul situated within the heart is naturally not bound by any activity. Those in complete Krishna consciousness are not ultimately responsible for their actions. Everything is dependent on the supreme will, the super soul, the supreme personality of Godhead. You may be wondering why I chose to speak on this verse. I'll tell you. Specifically to analyze one word in here, karta, karta. That word comes in the Vedic literature quite often. Srila Prabhupada translates it here in the word for word translation as worker, and in the verse translation as performer. Can anyone think of where it comes elsewhere in Bhagavad Gita? Well-known verse. Then? Kartaham iti manyate. So that verse begins, Prakrite kriyamanani gunai karmani sarvashaha ahankara vimurhatma kartaham iti manyate. Someone who thinks I am the doer. Srila Prabhupada translates the word karta in this instance as doer. Someone who thinks I am the performer or doer of activities, when actually everything is carried out by the modes of material nature, is a big fool. Not just a fool, but a specially noteworthy fool, vimurha. Murha means fool or rascal. They're pretty much synonymous. And vimurha means a big fool. One who thinks I am the doer. Now, this is a strange word in English. How many times did you hear the word doer? Not in normal conversation. I don't think I even heard. I mean, I was born in England, and the only language I knew until about the age of 20 was English, despite efforts to educate me in French at school. I don't think I ever heard the word doer until I came to study Bhagavad Gita as it is and to associate with devotees. It's not in Indian English either, is it? You hear the people say the doer. You don't hear people say the word doer. It's an unusual word. It's clear to understand what it means, though. It's quite obvious what it means. Someone who does something, right? Just like if you kick a ball, then you become the kicker. Well, that's also not a common word. In English, in Indian English, you hear someone who cooks something, they call him the cooker. But actually, it's quite common in Indian English, but actually should be called the cook. The cooker is the, just like you have the rice cooker. What else can we, when there are so many, from any verb, you should be able to form a noun, which means the performer of that activity. There are some which are common. If someone who acts in a drama is called an actor, though it's spelled with O-R at the end instead of E-R at the end. What else? Someone who writes something is a writer. So there are common, but kick and kicker, someone who performs a crime is a criminal. There's no such verb as crime. I crimed. Climber. Some plants are called climbers because they climb the creepers. They're called creepers because they creep. So like that. But the word doer is very uncommon, isn't it? What does it mean? What does it mean? Usually you won't say who is the doer. Someone smashed the window. Who was the doer? You'd say, who did it? Right? There's a whole category of novels called whodunits. It's a crime novel. You can't. Agatha Christie, the most famous in that genre. Who done it? You're trying to work out Who was the criminal? You're looking it up in the dictionary. Who done it? You must find it there. It's which is wrong English, but it's understood. It's not considered proper English. So dua, it seems to be a funny word, unusual word, and it's even more unusual the way that Srila Prabhupada or Krishna, Krishna himself says, one who thinks I am the doer is a fool. Now that's a very strange thing to say, isn't it? Unless you are a criminal. So who smashed the window? Who was the smasher? Who did it? I didn't do it. If you, who was top of the class? Who topped the class in Indian English? I was the topper. That's another Indian English word. So any action that you do, you could be said to be the doer. I lifted the watch. I did the activity of lifting the watch. I wrote something. I was the doer. So it seems very strange to say that someone who does something is not the doer. It doesn't seem to make sense, does it? If someone cooks something, you say he's the cook. And what does it mean? That he got the ingredients, he cut up the vegetables and made the sabji and the chapatis, or down here, more likely to be idlis or whatever. He did it. He's the cook. He did the activity. So what does it mean that you're not the doer? It's a strange idea. It seems to be. It needs explaining more. Well, in this verse that we just read now, adishtanam tata karta, we have the five factors of action. Adishtanam is translated here as place. You have to be somewhere to do something, right? It could also be translated, I would guess, as circumstance, the particular circumstance, but that mixes with daivam. Adishtanam tata karta. You have to be in the place, just like to do an exam, to sit for an exam, you have to be in the exam hall, generally. Right? You have to be in the right place. You can't be in a brothel and sit an exam. So adishtanam tata karta. Then karanam, how is that trend? Yeah, the instruments, which means the senses. You have to have the senses. There are the two kinds of senses. In English, the word sense means what in Sanskrit is called gyanendriya. It means the means of perception. We perceive by touch, taste, smell, hearing, and smelling. No, I already said smell. Touch, taste, smell, sight. Oh, yeah, sight, yeah. So the five senses. Although that's generally accepted throughout the world, there are five senses, but psychologists who are always trying to dream up something new, they've thought of some other ones also. But anyway, there are five basic senses by which we perceive. But the word word which translates as senses of perception into Sanskrit, indriya, there's another kind of indriya also, which is karmendriya, by which we do activities. So there's the hands, the legs, the tongue is also a gyanendriya for taste, and it's also a karmendriya for speaking, singing. Then there's the rectum for passing stool, and the genital, which has also functions for ejecting waste products, and also for procreating. So those are the basic karmendriyas, by which activities are performed. So what is Krishna? So it seems that Krishna is maybe contradicting himself here, because in the third chapter he said that anyone who thinks that he's the doer, when actually everything is done by the modes of nature, he's a big fool. He's full of pride. But here Krishna says that there are five basic factors of action, among which daivam is the fifth and most important. Daiva is generally understood to mean fate. It was my luck. Do you say in Canada any daiva, my luck, kismat in Urdu, bhagya, dishta, there are different words. There's one word we don't hear very often in Sanskrit, proktan, we don't hear that. Or just we can say, even in English now they say, oh, it's my karma. Even anyone, normal person, I mean normal means vimurātmā, but they may say, well, it's just my karma, my bad luck, having a bad day today. The whole concept of luck, I suppose a scientist wouldn't agree that there's any such thing as luck, but there is. There is, but that, what does it mean ultimately? Daivam, it's coming from deva, coming from God. And then we have the word lucky, which sounds like the Bengali pronunciation of lucky, Lakshmi. So if you're lucky, you get lots of money, and lucky. But in Bengal, they're more... Throughout India, actually, they're more concerned to worship Durga, especially in Bengal. So that's the main fact. So Krishna seems to be contradicting himself. There's no contradiction. What the fact is that one who thinks that I am the doer without seeing all the other factors, and think it's just me, they're a big fool and a rascal. Srila Prabhupada quoted, or was it Srila Prabhupada, or was it the Sarup Damodar Maharaj in that book, which Prabhupada very much appreciated. He had that, he printed by the BBT, that book by Sarup Damodar Maharaj, The Scientific Basis of Krishna Consciousness. So in that book he quotes Isaac Newton, a famous quote from Isaac Newton. It says that if I have seen further than others, it's because I have stood on the shoulders of so many great persons who came before me. Of course, in Vedic culture you wouldn't stand on the shoulders of a great person. But the idea is that he was able to see, because he was able to understand more because he had the background of what he'd learned from others, what we would say by the mercy of the acharyas. Just like if someone wants to be a scientist and they just sit at home and start thinking and experimenting, but that's not how you become a scientist. You have to first of all study, and when you study to be a scientist, you study what has already been discovered before by others. You don't have to discover the periodic table. I mean, it'd be hard to do chemistry without having the periodic table, but that was discovered by someone in Russia. What's his name? Anyone remember? Mendeleev, something like that. How do you pronounce that? Difficult to pronounce in Russian. Mendeleev. He discovered the periodic table. So that's just a very basic example. And then so many things. So So the idea that I'm doing it by myself, that's great, that's greatly proud, isn't it? In the description of the demons, Ishvaro Aham, I'm the boss here, I'm the controller. Aham Bhogi, I'm the enjoyer. Siddho Aham, Balavan, Sukhi, I'm perfect, I'm powerful, I'm happy. So to not see the hand of God is great pride. And that is foolishness. And we can't do anything. First of all, who are we? We don't even understand who we are. If you think, I did it. I'm such a great bowler. I bowled out all the batsmen. I'm such a great bowler. But where does the strength come from? I'll say something. I gave this example many times from my own personal life. One morning in one winter in Vadodara in Gujarat, I got up as usual in the morning, but I couldn't move my hand at all because from the cold it was so stiff, I couldn't move it at all. It was completely stiff. And then I thought that, well, normally you get up, you go to the bathroom, you brush your teeth, all that. But I couldn't. I couldn't brush my teeth, not with my right hand anyway. It was the right hand that had become. I was sleeping with a kurta on, I couldn't take it off. I was stuck. And I just thought, well, we take that completely for granted that I use my hand, I turn the pages, scratch my head. But if Krishna, through his agents, the demigods who control every little thing, if they take away that ability, you can't do anything. Nothing. Can't do anything. So to think I did it, first of all, if you think I did it, that means I'm identifying with my body. Because if you say I bowled out the batsman, it was the body that moved it. It was not you, for we don't even understand who we are. We're identifying with the body. And then and not understanding that we can't do anything without the sanction of the Supreme Lord. We have no, this body has no strength. We can't do anything. We see Srila Prabhupada, he always gave credit to his guru. And he said, if I've done anything wonderful, it's only because I followed my guru. 100%. He always gave the credit to his guru. And if one thinks that I'm doing something great, then we immediately become a fool in Krishna consciousness also. It used to be quite common in the days when I joined ISKCON, if someone got a little proud, I know I'm doing great service or something, and then another devotee said, "You're not the doer, Prabhu. You're not the doer." Reminding, "You're not the doer." And someone else who is not a devotee heard, "What's he talking about? What's he talking about?" It's really devotee language. Srila Prabhupada gave us so many words. Super soul. I don't know if there's any such word. Maybe there was in English, but it's again something I never heard before I came to Krishna consciousness. Words for the three modes of material nature. You can look through thousands and millions of books in English. You won't find any such thing. The three modes of material nature. Super. Even Srila Prabhupada used the word demon. Usually when you think of demon, you think of something out of a horror movie or something like that. But it could be someone who seems to be very normal. It is in the present world, it is, because pretty much everyone's a demon. Maybe not in Bangalore. A lot of pious people also. So the word doer, what does it mean? Someone who thinks, I am doing. It's all me. I did it. If anyone has a little God consciousness, then they become freed from that pride. Just like in Islam, it said, Inshallah, tomorrow I will do such and such a thing, Inshallah, if God so wishes, if he allows. I remember, that must have been, let me see, it must have been 1970. I guess, yeah, it must have been 1970 World Cup soccer, watching it on TV. I must have been 13 years old at the time. And the South American footballers, they're all Catholics at that time. Whenever they scored a goal, especially the Brazil players, what did they do when they score a goal? They all celebrate, right? They jump up and down. But before they did that, they would kneel down, say a prayer, and then they'd jump up. Whoa, scored a goal. But first of all, it was like offering thanks to God. At the time, I didn't know what to make of it. I wasn't very religious. It was just, anyway, they're South Americans, so they're like a different species. What do we care about them? Being British, of course, Brazil beat England, so. Looking back on that, it's actually quite good, isn't it? I mean, the whole idea of kicking a ball around, here in India, it's throwing a ball and hitting it with a piece of wood. It's some play for children, but the importance they give to it is ridiculous. It just goes to show people have no higher aim of life if they become so much mad after sports. There's sports of, you know, for children, young men to play, get some exercise, this, that. But the importance they give to it, it's ridiculous. Another thing that stuck in my mind, I saw on TV, this must have been in some airport somewhere in India, seeing, I mean, it's not that I look at it, but you pass and you see. So I just saw, there was some cricket game and there was someone, there was a close-up of him and the look on his face, like, so serious, like he's in a war or something. It's a complete concentration and it's just a bit, yeah. I guess you have to have complete concentration when someone's throwing a ball at you. What speeds does it go up to? 100 kilometers an hour, more? Any idea? 60? 160 kilometers an hour. You have a ball thrown at you. That's pretty dangerous. A little bit. I got hit by a cricket ball once when I was a kid, and I couldn't walk for weeks. Got a huge swelling. So I guess you have to concentrate. But it wasn't just because of that, but the whole idea that it's very, very important. And I have to outdo, the batsman thinks I have to outdo the bowler. You won't understand this because you're not from a cricket country. You're from where? Belarus. They never even heard of cricket over there, probably. There's probably not even a word in the, well, it's Russian language. There may be some word. They don't play cricket there. So, the idea that I am the doer, I have to outdo someone. Practically, we can say that becoming free of that means liberation. That's why the Mayavadi, this word ahankar, that comes in Bhagavad Gita again and again. But actually the Mayavadis, they use that word more, isn't it? Because they think that you have to get free of ahankar. And once you get free of ahankar, there's no aham. And when there's no aham, then that's it. Then you achieved success in spiritual life, but you don't exist anymore, so you're not there to enjoy it. I don't know, their ideas are very strange, but they have the idea you have to become free of ahankar. Ahankar. Again, aham, I, and kar, that means, gives the sense of doing. There are different words in In English, we have one word, pride. And I guess there are other words also, arrogance, conceit, puffed up. That's another word I heard from Prabhupada. I never heard puffed up. Well, you hear about it from making popcorn, but not as a state of mind. That I only heard. If you go in the street in England and you say to someone, "You're puffed up," say, "Well, what do you mean I'm puffed up?" They wouldn't understand it. Unless they, maybe if they read Prabhupada's books. So in for pride, there are different. We have in the Bhagavad Gita, Dambo, Darpa, Bhima, Anascha. There are different phases of pride. There's also Garva for pride, which is used in the same sense as in English, a kind of good pride. That's not bad pride. But Ahankar, well, that more means egoism. That's translated in English as egoism. So the egoism, the idea, I am doing. But even if one does something very valuable and outstanding, you should always understand, first of all, I can't do anything. Not a blade of grass moves without the sanction of the Supreme Lord. And it's with the help of others. Srila Prabhupada gave all credit to his guru. But there are so many there to help us. Of course, Srila Prabhupada went alone to America. But there are so many acharyas, they've given us this knowledge. We're studying Bhagavad Gita as it is. Srila Prabhupada composed that largely based on the commentary of Baladev Vidyabhushan. It's not that Srila Prabhupada sat down and just started to write it, stream of consciousness. Not like that. He followed the previous acharyas. So that is the proper understanding. In the football team also, it's not one man, there are 11 men. So if someone thinks, I can recite another anecdote now, this is from maybe 20 years ago. At one devotee, I was speaking with him, and he told me that his nephew was known to be the best goalkeeper in the world. That's in football, goalkeeper. I guess it's something like wicketkeeper, not exactly, in cricket. So he was the best, and he said he's so proud. I'm the best goalkeeper. When he walks around in England, everyone, oh, it's him. Yeah, it's me. So puffed up. He must be a retired goalkeeper by now. and no one ever heard of him. The Beatles. You all heard of the Beatles? Anyone heard of the Beatles? Maybe from Prabhupada's books, you know. Otherwise, the Beatles, they were such a big pop group at the time. So famous. And then a few years ago, I was in Dublin, in Ireland, at Rath Yatra, and I saw one devotee was distributing books, Chant and Be Happy, on which on the cover there's John Lennon and Yoko Ono. John Lennon and Yoko, and George Harrison. These are members of the Beatles. They're immensely famous and popular and rich at the time. Early mid 60s till I went on for quite some time. I'm not sure, at least 10 years. They were immensely famous and popular, even after the group split up. So I asked the devotee who was distributing that, you're distributing this? He said, do the young people know who the young people you meet in Dublin, that's the capital of Ireland, if you've ever heard of Ireland, it's a small country, sitting off the west coast of Wales and England and Scotland. So I asked him, do the young people, they've ever heard of John Lennon, George Harrison? He said, some of them. They're so famous. And then a generation later, forgotten. I think it was last year I was in Croatia and someone spoke to me about this pop group called Queen. And I'd slightly heard of them. He said they're bigger. They're bigger than the Beatles. I didn't know. Well, I didn't lose anything by not knowing, but I'm just saying that they become so big and so famous and then forgotten. Probably the dog, if you see, the dogs wander around at night here, right? Every Indian town and village, the dogs come out at night. There's usually a group of what? 4, 5, 6, like that. One of them is the top dog. Right, so he's also thinking, oh, yeah, I'm the top dog. It's the same mentality. I'm so great. So it's very good to know that we're not great. We're not really anything. But that is not all in all. I was saying for the Mayavadis, they think to get free of the sense that I am the doer and then you become liberated. But we've got to go further. We've got to go further. And what is that further? Gopi Bhartur Dasanuda. Gopi Bhartur Padakamalayo Dasanuda. Not that we stop acting. Some people, they become self-realized, so to speak, and then they stop acting. They don't do anything. Ramana Maharshi, maybe you've heard his name. He was in Tamil Nadu. He just didn't do anything, that's all. He just sat around all the time, did nothing, because he was self-realized. In one sense, he was self-realized. Because what's the point of doing anything? Of course, I guess he ate every day. Probably bathed. I don't know. I don't know exactly. But the point is that he just didn't do anything. And even when he was young, when he first went to Tiruvannamalai, where he lived there. As a young man, he went there. And then he lived the rest of his life there. Tiruvannamalai is a town in Tamil Nadu. So when he first went there, the local boys, they thought he was crazy and they beat him a bit and he didn't react. Because he thought, I've got nothing to do with anything. So that's a kind of self-realization. That's one level of self-realization. When you realize, what's the point of doing anything? Why? Why do anything? What's the point? I've got nothing to do with this world. That's one level of realization. Of course, that's not enough, because one has to actually, there's a whole Bhagavad Gita is to incite Arjuna to act. Arjuna may say, well, if you're trying to make me a karta, but better just don't do anything. But Krishna didn't say, he said, work for me. Mat karma krit, be one who does work for me. So this Ramana Maharshi, actually Srila Prabhupada criticized him very severely. For one thing, he was supposed to have said that man minus desire equals God. And I guess that is a description of himself, because he appeared to be like that. Man minus desire equals God. So, they got some things right. We're not the doer. But the wrong understanding of the nature of God. Very wrong understanding. Rather, one is thinking, I'm not the doer. But one should think, I am an instrument. Nimitta matram bhavasavya sachin. Krishna told Arjuna, you become an instrument. If you beat someone with a stick, you could say, I didn't do it, the stick did it. I didn't touch them. So, I didn't do it, the stick did it. But that wouldn't hold up in a court of law. I didn't do it, the stick did it. So, but the stick is the instrument. So we should think of the instrument. One is the instrument of Krishna. And again, this can't be used. You beat someone with a stick, and then you say, "Well, I didn't do it. God did it." No, we are responsible. If we are not in any way the doer, then there's no sense of responsibility, no sense of right or wrong. And that's what actually Mayavad leads to. Then there's no differentiation between right and wrong. And atheism also comes. What's right and what's wrong? We're all descended from monkeys, and it's just chemicals, right? We're just all chemical, that's all. There's no soul, there's no God. And then there's no right and no wrong. Then why do you complain if someone slaps you in the face? It's only chemicals moving this way and that. Some chemicals hit some other chemicals. That's all. And you're feeling pain? Well, it's only chemicals. Some chemicals in the brain. Who's feeling the pain? That's the big question. The hard question, as David Chalmers says. It's not hard, you just get the right answer, that's all. The right answer is that the soul is the experiencer. But then again, a sangho he ayang purusha. Again said, the soul has no relation with this material world. Then how do we feel pain and pleasure? How is there right or wrong? It's due to false identification. That is the ahankar, false identification. Or actually, there's another word, abhimana, which is, it's also translated as ego. Abhimana means the sense of considering oneself as such. Purushabhimana means to consider myself an enjoyer of this world. But the Vaishnava Abhimana is to think that I am the servant of the servant of the servant of Krishna, who is the lover of the gopis. Gopi Bhartur Pada Kamalayo Dasu Dasa Nadasa. So we see how we have to understand this Bhagavad Gita properly through the parampara, through the explanations that Srila Prabhupada has given. I read an edition of Bhagavad Gita before I came to ISKCON. There was no commentary, just the verses. And I read through it, and it's, to me, it kind of sounded nice, but I couldn't understand anything. It's something someone doesn't want to fight. That I understood, that Arjuna didn't want to fight and Krishna wanted him to fight. But the philosophy, maybe I got a little idea that it's talking about reincarnation, but how can you understand all these things? Adhishthanam tata karta. How do you understand? What does it mean that you're not the doer? Then again it says you are the doer. Now we have to understand through the understanding that Srila Prabhupada gave us, which is the same as Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati gave us, which is the same as Bhaktivinoda Thakur gave us, on all the way up to Krishna. When we're hearing from Srila Prabhupada, it means we're hearing from all the acharyas. And then someone who's going to be a guru after Srila Prabhupada, they have to say the same thing that I was saying last night. Same thing. Then it's the same clear message. Otherwise, if we change it, then it's finished. So it is a mystery, the teachings of Bhagavad Gita. Rahasya meyetad uttamam, it's the highest mystery, Krishna says. It's difficult to understand when we're thinking, I am this body, I am the doer, I am independent from Krishna. But if one accepts the position of a devotee of Krishna, or aspiring devotee of Krishna, then he can begin to understand. Hare Krishna. So was that a good class? You all enjoyed it? I gave a great class. Whoa, what a great class. I'm just an instrument. Is it? If you think, I gave a great class. Why are you all cheering? You should stand up and give me a standing ovation. No, not required. Not right. Well, there is something nowadays in ISKCON where, as a formality at the end of class, thank you very much for the wonderful class. And you say at the end of every class, then it should be wonderful because the topic is Krishna consciousness. But it became a formality at the end of class to say, thank you very much for the wonderful class. Okay, any question, comment, objection? Speak now, or forever hold your peace. Not forever, there'll be another class also. Hare Krishna, Vancha Kalpa Tarubhyas Chakripa Sindhubhya Vichapaditanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha.